Blog Talk Radio.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I am your host, Ron Golden, and the Constitution Hour is, of course, made possible by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. Those of you that are returning after listening to my rant last night, I'm surprised that you're here, but that's okay. I appreciate the patronage. You know, we've covered a lot of different stories over the last year and a lot of speculation. And of course, we all love to get into the theories and conjecture. So tonight, I wanted to start out with something a little more solid, something that we can kind of put our finger on, something that's wholly factual, provable, and should have everyone in this country outraged. And I think it does have some of us outraged, but not nearly enough. And while we have come to talk about our Constitution more in the last 5 years or so than probably any other time in my lifetime, we need to start asking some fundamental questions, and I'm leading up to something, so just bear with me. The Constitution, while it is important, it's really nothing more and nothing less than the foundational document. Yeah, used tire salesman, eh? Now, I was a grunt back then, Jomer. But the document is nothing more and nothing less than a structural document that creates a state or government, if you will. That being said, we can only look as far as the preamble to the document to understand why it was created in the first place. And we'll come back to that in a minute, because I think there's something important that is kind of left unsaid. We say it, but we may not realize what we're saying when we repeat it. So, prior to the Constitution and the creation of the federal state, we had individual states. And you know, we need to ask the question, what is a state? In terms of the political definition, what we're talking about here. And the state is nothing more or less than a voluntary association that's constructed in the minds of people. There is a stated purpose for the state. And I would go as far as to say that the preamble for the formation of our states is found in our Declaration of Independence. The purpose of government in and of itself, whether it's state, local, federal, no matter how we look at it, no matter where it's at, the initial purpose for government is security. That being strength in numbers. And by electing servants, that's what they should be, is servants. They are there to provide a measurable amount of security so that the remainder of the citizens can go about their daily lives without the anguish and the anxiety of fear of being attacked by an outside government, tribe, whatever. That's the general gist of why we have a state, or even a federal state. Bigger is better, right? That's the idea. That being said, we also need to recognize that because government, or the state, is formed, created for that central purpose, there is an obligation to the citizens. After all, we pay for it. We surrender a little bit of liberty, and we pay, sometimes unwillingly, for the presumed security that comes from organized government. Yes, we certainly do. And one of the things that bothers me is that we're not getting what we pay for. Not even close. What kind of prompted this? You know, last night my wife and I were talking. My mother-in-law lives in Arizona. Very, very near our southern border, and kind of out in no man's land. And she had a report from the Border Patrol yesterday that they had caught or captured 8 armed, heavily armed Somalis. And there were 2 others that they knew were still at large and heavily armed in the area. We have seen over the last several years our federal government, which, in spite of the wording of our Constitution, in spite of their mandate, we have been led to believe that they are superior over the individual state governments. And by and large, the individual state governments act accordingly. They act as though the federal government is superior to them and a sovereign, if you will. But what about the state's obligation to the citizens that live within its geographical boundaries, such as Arizona? After all, presumably the people in Arizona pay state and local taxes. Part of that taxing scheme or structure arose from the idea that there was some security in being a state. Yeah, I know, Jomer, right? I think it's possible, I'm not sure, but I think they may have been returning from early voting up in Ohio. And maybe their bus broke down. I don't know. But nonetheless, the people in Arizona ought to be beyond furious. And we've been taught, educated, indoctrinated, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, into believing that taking the law into our own hands is bad. We wouldn't want to be a vigilante. Because after all, we have laws, and we need to respect the law and allow the law to do its job. The problem with that is, as we all well know, is that those public servants who have been elected and put in positions of trust to carry out faithfully, execute the laws, well, to say that they've been found wanting is really being polite. The state government in Arizona, the county governments, are 100% personally liable for the dereliction of their obligation to their citizens, for which, as I already mentioned, those citizens pay. They support them. They pay their salaries. They allow them to participate in lucrative pension programs and insider trading schemes. We allow them to be above the law in many cases. And still, they feel little or no sense of obligation to their citizens. And those that would fall back on the mantra, well, the federal government won't let us do our job. And I'm sorry, but that's a poor excuse. And first and foremost, it's an excuse, poor or otherwise. And this goes to the jurisdiction issue that we had talked about previously. And if we go back to the Constitution, that was the formation of the federal government. I don't find anything in that Constitution that says that the federal government is superior to the states in any way, shape, or form. There are some prohibitions against the states, such as waging war, entering into compacts or treaties. But, you know, we've covered this portion before, that the states, they're not allowed to enter into war unless they're under direct threat of invasion, and necessity just simply negates the idea that they're supposed to wait on the federal government. And I would say that certainly in places like Arizona and Texas, and I would argue Detroit, Michigan, we have such a situation. And while we can have a philosophical discussion about why we have ambassadors left hanging out to dry in foreign lands like Benghazi, what about the American citizens right here at home in one of the several states of the Union that comprises our federal government being left out to dry? Don't we have an obligation to them? You know, at least we could make the argument that someone in the military or someone who is appointed as ambassador to a foreign country, they at least know the potential risks, right, going into their service that they may have selected. And they have the, in the case of an ambassador, they have the ability to decline. But the people that live in Arizona or any other state in the United States, for that matter, don't necessarily have the same expectations as, say, an ex-Navy SEAL working for the CIA traveling in foreign lands as a personal bodyguard for an ambassador. And I'm not trying to diminish by any means the service or the sacrifice of those men, but they knew what they signed up for. And we see Americans across this country absolutely outraged, outraged that our military forces were told to stand down and not to come to the aid of their fellow, I hate to use the word comrades, but their brothers in arms, when they were in dire need and absolute distress. And we should be angry. But we ought to be a hell of a lot more angry at the fact that your government has issued a stand-down order across the entire nation, exposing every citizen in this country to the potential threats of the likes of the same type of actors that we saw carrying out the attack in Benghazi. Mr. Robert, how are you, sir?
Mr. Ron Coleman. I made it back from California and had my life as well.
California. Did you go out and visit Miss Linda?
I didn't get a chance to because we had transportation problems and we were on standby. We flew standby and we left Friday morning from Tampa at 7 o'clock. We didn't get to California until about 2 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, and by the time we got to our hotel room, it was 5 o'clock, and we just then we had to go to a party Saturday morning at 11, and then one of the cars broke down. It was just a I mean, it was a 3-day trip.
You see what you bring. I mean, Robert, I swear you've got to have a black cloud following you around.
I went to visit my Leonie's family for 3 days. I met half of the island of Tonga in 3 days. Ron, they're wonderful people, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I have no doubt.
Just warm and friendly.
I have to ask this, and forgive me, Leonia, if she's in earshot, because I don't mean this as a slam at all, but did they sneak in and dug out canoes? You know, did they sneak in or did they actually go through all the proper channels like most normal people and you know?
They go through, they're the citizens of the United States.
Wow, imagine that. Now,
they're citizens, but, you know, Leilani still has her, you know, she has a green card. She wants to become a citizen, but she never did, you know. But at any rate, she's legal. I mean, they're all legal.
You know, the thing I would tell her at this point is, you know, it's like the old American Express commercials used to say, membership has its privileges. And, you know, as a citizen of these United States, she would have the privilege of becoming an instant slave in involuntary servitude to a government that doesn't carry out its sworn obligations.
She pays taxes just like anybody else does. You know, she works her ass off.
Well, actually, she would pay taxes differently than everybody else does. But
yeah, but... But be it as it may, I mean, I've never was welcome. I was welcome like, I mean, you know, I was just like, I had a good time. It was a lot of fun, but I can relate to what was going through out there. I mean, God Almighty, Ron, it was just like a socialistic agenda.
And now you know why Linda calls it the left coast, right? I call it the land of fruits and nuts, but that's just me.
Well, that's man. You know, these people were so hateful. It was just unbelievable.
Robert, they're so tolerant.
Tolerant? I don't think so, Ron.
Oh, come on. Now.
No, sir. No, sir. They're very, very, very extremely hateful over there. When I flew into Charlotte, when I heard a Southern draw, Ron, I knew I was almost home. You know? I just knew I was home. When I heard it, so, welcome to Charlotte. When they said Charlotte, I said, I'm home. Yeah, but the thing is, when we got to Charlotte, I had the 8:15 flight because we were standby. Leonie had to take the 10:15 flight. We didn't get home until 2 in the morning. I literally didn't sleep for 3 days.
Wow.
If you want to know the truth. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
It was like being on call for 36 hours straight. So, I guess I'm prepared. I prefer to take epidemiology now.
There you go. Well, you know, I had to get on my soapbox because this whole thing with our government is really, it's pissing me off.
Well, Ron, you're right. You know, why you did that, I mean, I can't. This is what, you know, I heard you guys briefly Sunday night when I was calling you from Charlotte Sunday. And I heard Mike on the phone and I heard you guys going up to, you know, and what really bothers me through the whole ordeal. They were sitting there watching this whole thing unfold. And I thought to myself, God, this guy just went to sleep to get ready for his stunt in Las Vegas. He saw the whole thing fold, saw everybody got killed. He just goes to Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, we really, it's easy. I do it. I jump into it. It's real easy for us to armchair quarterback and to jump to conclusions and to fall into various theories. And in part because it just reinforces what we already know in our own minds, our own opinions of the administration. And that is that they're corrupt, inept, and possibly anti-American, you know. And I say possibly, almost tongue-in-cheek. But I think this is the point where we have to be careful. Like the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I see that there's an investigation being called for. There is a bill on the floor of the House to begin impeachment proceedings. Now, the impeachment proceedings don't have anything to do with the Benghazi deal. If you read the actual proposal, what the proposal says is that if the president, any president, initiates military action without the approval of Congress, it is automatically high crimes and misdemeanors punishable by impeachment for treason.
Well,
and the reason for that is they're trying to stave off our involvement in Syria, because the president and his defense secretary both have stated publicly that the authorization for military force does not come from Congress. It comes from NATO and the United Nations.
Speaking of NATO, who gives them the right to oversee our elections?
Well, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
That's
part of this international cooperative, you know, so that we can go peddle our influence in other countries, and we're going to embrace them coming into ours. And I think Texas, the attorney general down there, deserves massive kudos. And I hope and pray that they actually follow through and make good with their threats to incarcerate these people, take them into custody, and hold them until they can be transported out of the state of Texas. Now, I think the other states should also take a lead from Texas, Arizona being one of them. You know, we had this conversation about Jan Brewer and her involvement or her inclusion or collusion with the federal government. She's either a complete idiot or she's helping them. I mean, there can't be a third scenario, because she's duly elected governor of the state of Arizona. She has an absolute obligation, both a moral obligation and a legal obligation, to provide security for the geographical boundaries of the state of Arizona, and she's not doing that.
Brewer. Ron, I don't know what to think of this stuff anymore. And November 6th, and I'm going to have to make a serious decision whether or not I want to even vote. And if I don't vote, you know, I feel like I didn't do my fiduciary responsibility as a citizen of this country.
If you don't, don't vote, Robert, don't beat yourself up too badly. Because, yes, I agree that citizens are as participants in the political experiment, the socio-political experiment known as the United States of America, we do owe it to ourselves and our children and our neighbors and to try to right the ship of state, as it were, through the ballot box and through being active in our government. But I think also no one could honestly chastise you for not participating when we have a very long and sordid history of voting and it doesn't seem to alleviate the problem.
No, that's true. You know, the Sarasota South Republican Party has been harassing me to support Mitt and, you know, help him out with Mitt. I've just been ignoring him. I just don't even pick up the phone for them anymore.
Well, and from my standpoint, it's not that I think Mitt Romney's a bad guy. It's not that I believe that he's some ne'er-do-well or some evil-doer or that he has some evil agenda. It's simply that I don't believe that Mitt Romney understands what is required to return the country back to its proper form of government. I think that he is caught up in the status quo and the way it's been for decades and decades. And so he can't necessarily think outside the box.
Yeah, but Ron, you know what he's doing, don't you? He's moving to the center to be the status quo bipartisan.
Right. Well, that's called political expediency. They all do it. Does that mean he's telling the truth? No. Of course not. and do we really truly expect our elected officials to tell us the truth? Not really.
No.
Because if we did, none of them would get voted for because they all lie.
No, I know.
We're conditioned to expect our politicians to be liars, and they don't, and they never disappoint.
I mean, I don't even want to vote for Vern. And this other guy, Scott Fitzgerald, he's the biggest socialist agenda guy you ever want to know. You know, and he's a ex college professor from New College of Sarasota County, Florida, and that's the biggest.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of chatter lately because Alan West is in trouble down in Florida.
Yes, I heard that. I read that on the news today.
But you know, I would be more inclined to believe that the trouble visiting Mr. West right now is not because of his challenger as much as it is Mr. West's voting record, in particular vote for the NDAA. I think he lost a lot of independent, libertarian-minded folks and probably a lot of Tea Party folks just simply because he voted in favor of that act.
Yeah.
So it's much of his own doing. I don't believe that those same people are running out to vote in favor of his challenger. I think they're simply not voting.
Well, yeah. You know what's really stopping me from not voting? I mean, I said this before. I'll bring it up again. It's just sequestration. That really bothers me, Ron. That sequestration just really, it's like, to me, it's like a thorn in my side.
Well,
you know?
Look, that was part of the deal to raise the debt ceiling, was it not?
Yeah. I know. But I didn't realize that we had to pay taxes to us, the citizens, had to pay taxes to support them.
Well,
I didn't realize we. I didn't realize we had to pay taxes. I didn't realize I was rich.
Gee, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
We have Rhonda on the line. Let me say one more. I didn't realize
sure.
I was responsible for. I didn't realize I was responsible for laying off people.
Robert, you're responsible for everything. You are, after all, the government.
And, you know, I've been working for the government all along. You didn't realize it.
Precisely. I want to welcome Miss Linda Sills to the show. Miss Linda, how are you?
Fine. How's it going?
Oh, it's going
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the weather is still pretty here. We're very fortunate. I was going to ask Robert how I remember talking to him briefly. I think it was Saturday morning when he was in L.A.
I did call Linda from L.A. Yes, I did.
Anyway, so I never got to ask him in detail how he felt about the TSA.
Oh, Linda, I know what you're going through. You're not having aberrations or delusions. I can tell you that much.
Now, Robert, I got to ask you: did you wear the towel and the yarmulke?
No, I wore a luau.
I have a picture saved on my computer, and I won't explain why I saved this particular picture. It was for a gag that I was doing, but it was a guy that was trying to board an airplane in San Francisco, and he was wearing blue panties with a blue push-up bra, knee-high fishnet stockings, and a white shawl.
Oh wow!
And you know they let him board the airplane that way.
Yeah.
Now, aren't you glad you weren't sitting next to him all the way to Charlotte?
Wow, that's crazy. So you're talking about the dereliction of duty on this, securing the borders. I mean, this has been bothering me for forever because not only is the influx of the illegals, which just is not helping our sovereign territory at all, but we know that the drug cartels and there's different cells of Hezbollah down there. And now we have Somalis coming across and nobody gives a rat's behind.
It could be that their bus broke down on their way back from Ohio. I don't know.
But I did get good news from one of the gals here. She's the head of a Tea Party, and her friend who lives in California had spent 3 weeks in Ohio and just got back. And while she was there, she was on committees walking door to door with literature for Mitt Romney. And apparently the people who were independents and undecideds or whatever are now 80% for Mitt Romney. So that was kind of cool for Ohio. But,
well, that doesn't surprise me. I think we kind of called that right here on the show before, that it's
right.
The independents and the libertarian-minded folks that are going to decide the election, I believe.
Yeah, oh, sure. Anyway, the situation with the I guess it was the Attorney General in Texas, I do hope that when he draws that line in the sand like the old Alamo deal, he does not stand back, stand down. I want him to, like you say, arrest those idiots and get them
absolutely
deported out of the state. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's time. I mean, it's far past
time. Oh, it's beyond time.
Yeah. That, if the federal government isn't going to step up to the plate and uphold their obligations, then, you know, by God, the states are going to have to do it. And it's high time that state governments started holding up their obligations.
Sure,
and it's high time that we, the people, start holding their feet to the fire and push
them until
they either uphold their obligations to the people of the state or they find themselves unemployed.
Yes, they're going to get their 99 weeks of unemployment checks real soon. you know, we've got to get rid of these clowns. Yeah, you're right. That's why I try to reach into my local community and deal with the local people, because I can call them up and I can go down to the chambers and scream my head off. I can't do that to D.C., and I can't get to Sacramento. I'm almost to the border down here. So, but I can get to City of Oceanside, and I can get to, you know, different people here in other communities within driving distance, and I can make a difference. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing and trying to learn everything and see both sides of, you know, what's going on. And of course, I'm just completely surrounded by libtards when I go into the city council phone banking. It's insane. It's horrible. Oh, no. You should have heard what I heard today. It was like, and I'm really glad that I voted for his opponent, Zach Beck, because my mom and I have already mailed in our ballots. We're done. We don't have to worry about that. We made our decisions. Well, I did my homework. So this guy, Jerry Salyer, he's going for city clerk. This guy, and I didn't even know this until today, how big of a libtard this guy is. I'm not kidding. He's a socialist, because he's touting Obama, and he's saying, oh, Ohio's, you know, Obama's going to take Ohio. And that was after I had read the email from the lady who had actually walked the precinct. It was bizarre.
Did you ask your lady friend that was walking the precincts there in Ohio if she happened to witness them bussing in the Somalis for the early voting?
I did not, because I...
No, seriously. Dead serious. There was a very large story that three poll workers who were in, I forget exactly what district in Ohio, around Cincinnati or Cleveland, I don't remember which.
Good grief.
But they witnessed these Somalians being bussed in for early voting.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, but they witnessed interpreters telling them to vote Brown straight down, which Brown was the Democrat running for a local seat.
Got it.
So that just
puts
them in the D column, and you know, that's a big no-no.
Oh, my God, that's totally illegal.
Exactly.
I mean, I know that. I'm a poll worker. I know exactly
you can't do. Yeah, you're not supposed to say anything to try and influence anyone's vote one direction or the other. You're
because
not to give them instructions on voting one way or another,
right,
other than, you know, put it in and push this for that one or this for that one, and that's, you know.
That's it, right. No, that's called politicking, and it is not. You have to be 100 feet away from that poll table just to sign in. So, yeah, not to mention the booth. I mean, that's just, yeah, people can get in big, big trouble for that if they're caught.
Well, if you're on the other side, you can.
Well, yeah.
Not if you're in the, you know, the mosquito class of the progressive idiots.
Yeah, we've got a huge group here going around to all of our polls. They're going to be poll observers, and these people are, I mean, they're conservative to the max. I mean, I know where they come out of. I've been in classes with them. Ruth Weiss is wonderful. She's trying to make sure that we have election integrity. I mean, she had like 250 people the last time she was teaching a class. So, yeah, she's really on it. I love her. She's like so cool.
Well, the thing is, what I have witnessed, at least, is that when these situations rise, all we ever get is excuses on why they can't do anything about it.
Oh, we're getting this from the Benghazi gate. We're getting it from everything, every aspect. I mean, the only thing they can't do, which they've promised, is to stem the tide of the ocean during this hurricane. I mean,
sure. Well, it's just like what we witnessed at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, my God.
And how quickly, you know, a lot of folks have forgotten the disenfranchisement that occurred there. Completely, totally in violation of all the stated principles, policies, rules, and regulations, and laws, and bylaws of the Republican Party. And it goes unchecked. There's no way to hold anyone accountable.
Yeah, I know. Mike from the hot seat, he was ticked off about that for about 2 weeks, man.
So,
he
you know, the question.
Let it go.
Right. The question then becomes, why do we have laws? What is the point? What's the purpose
right.
of them?
Right. Well, yeah, it's when you look at it, it's just anything goes, and it's like one breath away from anarchy because there's no laws, and nobody's upholding anything.
Yeah, it's subjective, selective enforcement.
Yeah, on everything.
As long as it furthers law, as long as it is in furtherance of the broader agenda, it's okay.
Sure.
But if you're posing some kind of threat to the broader agenda, well, then your butt's going right to jail.
Oh, sure. It's pretty frightening.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
When the car broke down, we were in the mechanic shop, right?
Oh, God, that's an experience in California all on its
own. I felt like I was Fred Sanford and Sanford and Son, you know? I really did, Linda.
California is one of those states that is very unique in its approach to regulating automotive repair and repair facilities.
The butcher, the owner of the automotive part, he was from Pakistan.
Oh,
what
great.
A nice man. He is so. I invited him to talk on the show. I gave him my email address and phone number. We became friends from Pakistan.
Wow.
What a nice man. And he's a Republican, my go-figure, you know?
Oh, Robert, he's surely got to be against Israel and, you know, one of those evil guys.
No. He says, you know, now he explained it to me. He explained it to me in such a way that I saw life in a different manner. He says, Robert, you know, he says there's bad Jews, there's good Jews, there's bad Muslims, there's good Muslims, there's bad people, good. It's all about good and evil. That is what it is. It is all about greed. That's how he explained it.
You know, somebody told me a long time ago that there's no one race that has a monopoly on evil, believe me.
Oh, well, no. Well, yeah, sure there is. The human race.
Yeah, well, okay. Got me there.
But I understand what you're saying, and he's absolutely correct. And I think it's not a mistake. Yeah.
God, that's what's going on.
And look, there's no question that the... those who have ill intention or their own self-aggrandizement, self-promotion at the heart of all of their moves, you know, their actions, there's no doubt that they utilize things like someone's belief in a higher authority, a higher power, in God. They use that as a tool to manipulate people. And I've said many, many times on this show and others that I believe that the people both here in the United States and around the world are being manipulated. And one of the key things that they use to manipulate people is their religious beliefs.
Sure.
You know,
L.
Ron Hubbard said it better than most. You want to be a millionaire, create a new religion. And he did just that with Scientology. And he proved a very valid point. I mean, there are people out there looking to believe anything. And, you know, Scientology is proof of that.
Yeah.
Because you've got to be absolutely bug nuts to buy into all that junk. But it's no more far out than a lot of what we hear from, you know, Islam and many of the other religions.
I have his book.
Oh, L. Ron Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard?
Yes, absolutely.
And you didn't join the Church of Scientology, Robert?
No, I did not. I was beating my head on a wall trying to digest what he was writing.
Well, you just need to sit down with Tom Cruise and what's his name? John Travolta, and I'm sure they could they could enlighten you thoroughly on the whole thing.
Yeah, one question. Are you running out of time or what? I was just curious.
Yeah, well, down to about 10 minutes. So
I have a quick story today for all of the phone banking for Mayor Jim Wood here in the city. A couple of us who had put in more time than others, he gave us gift cards to Walmart for $25 each. And so guess what I'm buying? Buckshot.
Rye bread. Oh, no. I don't think I sent that. Did I send that to you, Robert?
I think I sent it to you, yeah, because somebody sent it to me. It was funny.
I don't think Linda sent it to me about rye bread.
Yeah, it was about the two old guys, one that was 80 and one that was 90, and the 80-year-old sitting on the park bench, and the 90-year-old comes jogging up, and he says, "Oh, I just got done with my 2-mile run," and he wasn't even breathing hard. And the 80-year-old looks at him, he says, "Man, how do you do it? You must have some great stamina." He says, "Oh, I eat rye bread every day." He says, "Really? Rye bread?" Guy says, "Oh, absolutely." He says, "Really helps with the ladies, too, if you know what I mean." Well, the guy, he was just beside himself. He couldn't believe it, and he'd never heard of such a thing. So he's at the grocery store. He's back in the bakery. He's looking around. The lady says, "Sir, is there something I could help you with? Is there something you're looking for?" He says, "Yeah. Do you have any rye bread?" She said, "Oh, I've got shelves of it. Would you like some?" He said, "Yeah, give me 5 loaves. She said, "5 loaves? My gosh, by the time you get to the third one, it'll be hard as a rock." He said, "I can't believe everybody but me knows about this."
That is so cute. I know I had to send that one on. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, I had to come on. Yeah, Robert's going to be down at the Jewish deli getting some Jewish rye tomorrow morning.
I want to get 3 loaves tonight. And I'm going to eat them all, too.
Oh, God. You guys are killing me. Okay.
Well, we got to go out on at least a little bit of humor, you know?
Absolutely. With all this stuff. Linda, I'm going to go in the chat room. Thanks so much, and it was great to hear both your voices.
God bless.
Go ahead. What?
When we have more time, we're going to go for a week next time. We'll hook up.
Okay.
And he's going to have a pastrami on rye.
Oh, no.
Pastrami on rye.
You guys, God bless. I'm going back to the chat. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Mr. Ron. So we're going to do Constitution Hour Monday before the 6th, right?
Oh, well, of course.
For Tuesday, Monday the 6th.
I wouldn't miss the pre-theater entertainment for anything in the world. Are you kidding me?
Mr. Ron, I got a lot of serious thinking to do between now and November 5th, if I'm still here, God willing.
I'm just jealous that Miss Linda has her show on Wednesday. She is in the catbird seat for...
Oh, man, she's going to have a good time when, yeah, she gets the aftermath of whoever's going to be our president.
Yeah, she's going to have to dedicate that show to FEMA and Homeland Security because she's going to be coming in batting cleanup for the aftermath.
Oh, you mean in New York?
No, I mean the election.
The election. Oh. God, you're so funny.
I mean, that's going to be like the worst natural disaster ever to strike the United States in its 235-year history is going to be this election.
God, you set me up pretty good for that one.
And, of course, the aftermath, which, you know, should start right about Tuesday night. And roll right on into Wednesday.
We're not going to have any sleep for the next 2 days. Probably we're not going to sleep for the next 7 days.
And, you know, I don't think, honest to God, I don't. It's not going to matter who wins technically on Tuesday night. You know there's going to be challenges, man. The lawsuits are going to be flying. Everybody and their brother's going to be pissed off that their guy didn't win. I mean, it has all the ingredients, all the makings of pandemonium. So,
yeah, well,
you know, and depending on the severity of the damage on the East Coast, then you're going to have all those disenfranchised voters who just, you know, little old ladies that couldn't make it out of their apartment to go down and vote. You know, their voter ID card got washed away in the hurricane. My God, the possibilities are just endless.
Well, I'll see. No matter the outcome, I guess we just have to cling to our guns and Bibles.
I think that's probably the safest mode of action right now.
To quote our president, you know, we just have to cling to our guns and Bibles.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, guys, we got about 4 minutes left, and I want to play this song as we go out. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank Robert and Linda, my guests, for calling in. Always wonderful. And tune in here tomorrow night for Patriot Families Chat at 7 p.m. And then Wednesday for Miss Linda with Right from the Left Coast. Thursday, Miss Terry Rowland. And then back here Sunday with me for Fed Up Frank. Guys, God bless. Robert, thank you for calling in. Go get some of that Jewish rye. And enjoy your evening, sir. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
I rolled out this morning, kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just one, how I'd like to see the headline say. Not much to print today, can't find nothing there to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. A little good news today. I'll come home this evening, I bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchor man talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. Whoa, tell me, nobody was assassinated in the whole third world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do was play. A little good news today.